Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to turn our attention to what's happening in Saudi Arabia. If you've been watching any of our programs as of recent, we've been talking about this new line in the sand that's been drawn between Iran and Saudi Arabia. That line has gotten deeper and deeper, and you're starting to see this not in a new emergence of a war, but some are saying the deepening of World War III. Well, it seems that with these crushing oil prices, Saudi Arabia, a lot of things are starting to come to surface, and they're starting to deal with some issues and some things that they've been doing for quite a while, namely their role in spreading terror. Now, this is really interesting. I want you to watch this report as we get some more information regarding how Saudi Arabia has been spreading terror throughout the world. Watch this.
News that the suspect in the San Bernardino attack recently visited Saudi Arabia is raising questions about that country's role in supporting radical Islam around the world. CBN News terrorism analyst Eric Stackelbeck joins us now for more. Eric, how does Saudi Arabia support the spread of radical Islam?
Well, George, this has been going back really for decades, where Saudi Arabia, Mecca is there, and they've kind of been the Mecca in many ways of radical Islam. A few ways, George. Number one, especially here in the West, the Saudis have spent billions and billions of those petrodollars to build radical mosques and radical Islamic schools or madrasas throughout Europe and, yes, here in the United States. The other thing the Saudis do is they have a very strict educational system, George, where in that country, young people are raised up in their schools and taught the tenets of radical Islam, taught to not take Jews and Christians for their friends, taught that jihad is a good thing. We've covered this, George, here on CBN News, these Saudi textbooks and the poison that is in them that helps radicalize people from there. So when you have all this, George, it's no surprise, for instance, that 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers hailed from Saudi Arabia. The official government-sanctioned educational program in that country is poison.
I think what our viewers don't realize is that the state religion in Saudi Arabia is this thing called Wahhabism. Is there a difference between the state religion of Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia and what ISIS or Al-Qaeda is practicing today across a large swath of the Middle East? Is there a difference?
Well, the Saudi government would tell you that there is, George, because right now they'll say, look, we're fighting Al-Qaeda. We're fighting ISIS. But if you look at it, basically, they believe the same things.
Yeah.
Jihad, death to the infidel, Jews and Christians are inferior, women are inferior, etc. They believe the same things. It's just that ISIS and Al-Qaeda are actually acting on those beliefs right now in a violent, very real way. But the ideological groundwork for all of the jihad we're seeing today, whether it's ISIS, Al-Qaeda, stems, number one, from the Muslim Brotherhood. They're kind of the granddaddy of them all, George, when it comes to this modern-day philosophy of restoring the caliphate and violent jihad and expansionist Islam. But look, the Saudis are right behind them in terms of spreading the ideology around the world. Their ideology, the Saudis can plead ignorance and say our hands are clean, but the ideology that their petrodollars are spreading is radicalizing people from Riyadh to Reston, Virginia. This is going on around the world thanks to what the Saudis are teaching.
And I think what makes it more complicated is the fact that, as you mentioned, Saudi Arabia is now fighting ISIS in Iraq and Syria, funding them through either money or through weapons. But at the same time, these guys, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, have also launched attacks against the House of Saud, the royal, royal establishment in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And so they're fighting an enemy that they are at the same time fueling and funding.
Yes, that's the interesting thing about it, George. It has come back to bite the Saudis. They've spent all this money spreading radical Islam and Wahhabism around the world. And now Al-Qaeda and ISIS are saying, hey, you're not Islamic enough. You're not radical enough. You're a tool of the West. That's the main thing, George. They see the Saudi royal family as decadent, as lavish, and as tools of the West, friends of the Americans. So the Saudis, it's coming back on them now. It really has been since 9/11. they have increasingly become a target. And don't think for a second that ISIS would not like to control Mecca and Medina, the two major, the two holiest sites in Islam. That's a dream of every radical Islamist, to seize Mecca and Medina. Right now, the Saudi government are the custodians of those cities and the guardians of the two holy mosques in Saudi Arabia. But ISIS and Iran, by the way, on the flip side of this, another avowed enemy of the Saudi government, they've got their eyes on it too.
Yeah. And now the United States and Saudi Arabia, they're supposed to have a very, very close alliance. Help our viewers understand, why is the United States not doing, why have they not done historically more to curb the funding, the fueling, and the export of Wahhabism?
Well, since World War II, George, since the days of FDR, we've had very deep relationships, especially on the economic end, with the Saudi royal family. Of course, there's the oil factor. The Saudis have a lot of oil, a lot of petroleum that the West is somewhat reliant on. So that's a big factor, the economic factor there, the business ties there. But in the meantime, we have let this cancer grow where we've kind of looked the other way. Until 9/11, we basically looked the other way and let this cancer spread, let the Saudis do their thing, spreading Wahhabism around the world, building mosques and madrasas here in the West. And by the way, George, something our viewers should know, you cannot build a church in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You cannot build a synagogue there. You cannot bring a Bible into Saudi Arabia. You cannot wear a cross around your neck in that country. So we're letting them do as they please here in the West, but they're not reciprocating, to say the least, in their country.
Final question. Is there any way we can, as you mentioned, get rid of this cancer to stop this Islamic poison coming out of Saudi Arabia? Can the U.S. do anything?
Well, we've been pressuring the Saudis since 9/11. Again, George, not long enough. It's been going on for decades. But since 9/11, we have been pressuring them, but they make small, minimal steps. I believe women can drive now in Saudi Arabia. Welcome to 2015.
Yeah.
They make minimal steps. But those textbooks, we've covered this again on CBN News.
Yeah.
Those textbooks, they may tweak them a little bit. But the message, the totalitarian, anti-Western, anti-Semitic message remains in those textbooks in the educational system. And until they get that right, and not only the Saudis, by the way, the Palestinians, the Iranians, all of their educational systems are like this. Until that gets straightened out, we're going to continue to struggle. That's one facet in the struggle against radical Islam.
Yeah. Wow. Eric, thank you so much. I know you do.
Thank you, George.
You cover so many different angles, so many aspects of terrorism, and I know our viewers are going to really appreciate your analysis on this, the similarities between ISIS and Saudi Arabia and their beliefs and their ideology. Eric Stackelbeck, out of our Washington, D.C. bureau. Sir, thank you so much for your analysis.
Thank you, George. Anytime.
The question we've got to ask now is, Saudi Arabia's chickens coming home to roost? Here we have oil selling at record lows, and they're the number one producer and exporter of oil. Think about this. And now, you know, their entire country is subsidized. 31 million people live in Saudi Arabia, and of the 31 million, only 5 million are actually employed. That means that the rest of the country, 90-plus percent of them, are all being taken care of by the government. And so now, because their sales are so low in terms of oil exports, they're going to have to start cutting back their subsidies. And they just raised their gasoline that they're charging their own citizens by 50%. And when the Arab Spring was happening, the royal family was greatly concerned that they were going to spill on over. And so they even increased more of their subsidies. Well, now they have a deficit. And the only way to cut back that all of this debt now that they're inquiring is to take away the subsidies. Are we going to see an Arab Spring emerge in Saudi Arabia right when Iran is emerging and coming out of these sanctions that were placed upon them? And just they're coming out of it, which means they're going to be producing oil and exporting it at a greater rate. We got to keep our eyes on the Middle East. We've got to keep our eyes and prayers upon Israel, because things are rapidly developing and they're changing day by day.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, You can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the daily radio program where we're keeping the conversation light.